The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
An amazing song. I love the words, God meant it for good. You know, every one of us have something in our life where we think, wow, why did that happen? Why did this happen? But can I tell you, God always means it for good. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Just keep your head up high because we serve an amazing God. And what a mighty God we serve. I love that song. And those girls behind the song, great job, ladies, proud of you. Take your Bible again, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Ben, can you come help me? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look down in verse 1 again. Can you just take this pot and stick it in front of the pulpit for me, please? Thank you very much. You know, Ben, the other night, he stirred a little bitty pot for preacher, a little bitty bowl. So in a little while, Ben, I'm going to have you come up here, and you're just going to stir this thing, okay? All right, thank you. You can go sit in my seat. You can sit right there. All right, I'm sorry. Did I take you from destiny? Did you notice his song this morning mentioned destiny? I don't know. Did anybody else catch that? Did anybody else catch that this morning? As he was singing, I heard him say, destiny. And I thought, yes, I know exactly what's going through your head. When I would sit back in the pews, my wife and I, when we were courting and when we were dating, you know, we would, as we were singing hymns, I would sit there and I'd underline words with my fingers, like, ah, and then she'd underline another word with her finger, and we were literally singing the words to each other, as you know, different things. Like, it was romantic. It really was. You got to find romantic ways to be romantic in a church service, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5. This is an amazing verse if you think about it. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, it's an amazing thing to have three generations of people that are just still doing it. And they're still faithful and they're still serving God. It's just an amazing thing. Verse 6, Paul's writing here and he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He had to look at Timothy and said, I need to remind you of something. All this great things, God is good, His mercy is great, peace be unto you. I mean, your grandmother's got it, your mama's got it, your whole family's got it, but I need to remind you of something, that you stir up the gift of God. And I'm afraid what's happened in a lot of our churches these days is we've grown a little stale. We've grown a little cold. We've grown a little crusty. And if we're not careful and we don't learn to stir ourselves in the things of God, we'll end up growing old. We'll end up growing cold. We'll end up becoming nasty. So the Bible says, Paul said, I remind you that you stir up the gift of God. That you stir up the gift of God. God wants you to stir yourself up. God wants you to stir yourself up. Thank you. You're going to stay there the rest of the service. And every time I say stir it up, you're going to stir it up, okay? So the title of my message tonight is Stir It Up. Stir It Up. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Got to get it there. My wife and I do not cook, okay? I can't cook. Now, I think I could, you know, there is YouTube and, you know, Google and things like that. So I think I could try and maybe cook. I might not burn it. I don't know. But I'm not saying it now, okay? But my wife, she said, you need to come in here and you need to tend to the meat. And she said, all you got to do, it's in the pan here, all you got to do is just keep stirring it. Just keep stirring it. And so I would stir it, and I just left it alone for a little while. She comes back in the kitchen. She said, honey, you need to stir it. And I said, why? She said, it's going to stick to the pan. So I'm in there, and I'm trying to, and now she's got all this meat is now stuck to the bottom of the pan, and she's sitting there scraping it and trying to get it off. You see, that's what happens to us as Christians. If you're not careful, you end up sitting in the same seat, having the same view, having the same ears, having the same heart, and all of a sudden you get used to everything so that when the preacher gets up behind the pulpit and he begins to preach, you no longer hear what he says. You no longer pay attention to what he has to say. Why? Because you have stopped stirring. You have stopped stirring. And Paul looked at Timothy in that letter and he said, I need to remind you of something, that you stir up the gift of God. That you stir up the gift of God. So what are some things we should stir up? Number one, stir up your courage. Number one, stir up your courage. Stir up your courage. You see, here's what's happened in America. The wrong people are gaining courage. The wrong crowd is gaining courage. And the reason that's happening is because the people in the pews have stopped stirring. Nothing stirs them anymore. Nothing motivates them anymore. Nothing pumps them anymore. Nothing excites them anymore. They even get behind a preacher and a man of God and they listen to him, but it doesn't excite them anymore. It doesn't motivate them to go soul winning anymore. It doesn't motivate them and pump them to live godly anymore. Why? You've grown cold and you've stopped stirring. You've stopped stirring. Never get tired of stirring. Never get tired of doing what you're supposed to do. Never get tired of living a godly life. Never get tired of passing out a gospel tract. Never get tired of running a church bus. Never get tired of sitting in a pew and listening to good old-fashioned preaching. Never get tired of opening up a hymn book and singing the songs of God, Zion. Never get tired of reading your Bible. Never get tired of praying. Hey, don't wear out. You just keep stirring and you just keep stirring. Stir it up. Stir up courage. Thank you, Ben. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, take your Bibles. We're going to look at Daniel real quick. Daniel chapter 6, look down at verse 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Here is a man that had courage. Here is a man that had courage. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. As he did aforetime. It became against the law to pray openly. It became against the law to do what he had always done. Can I ask you a question? If it becomes against the law to go soul winning, are you going to stop soul winning? Am I going to stop soul winning? If it becomes against the law to run a church bus and pick up boys and girls and people that have no other way to church, are we going to stop running the church buses because it becomes against the law? Hey, can I tell you something? Daniel knew it became a law. Daniel knew it became against the law. But what did he do? He did as he had always done. He went out to that open window and he knelt three times a day and he openly prayed to God. Why? Daniel had courage. Daniel had courage. Would to God we had some teenagers that would get some courage about them. Would to God we had some children that would get some courage about them. It'd be great if we had some moms and dads that would get some courage about them and just say, hey, this is right and this is wrong, and it doesn't matter if you give me an attitude or not. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need some people with courage. We need some people with courage. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, what did he do? He knew it happened, but he still obeyed God. Daniel chapter 6, look down at verse 20. The Bible says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Look down at verse 26. It's amazing. He says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Daniel was a man that had the courage. Daniel was a man that wanted to stand for right, and it didn't matter if he was faced with execution. If you and I were faced with execution for simply praying at our bedroom window, would it change what we're supposed to do? What's happened with our nation? We no longer have courage. We're no longer have courage as we walk up to a door and we tremble. You listen to me. I tremble inside too as I walk up to a door and I knock on that door. Why? Because I've got that little fear inside of me that says, oh, they're not going to listen to you. Oh, they're not going to pay attention to you. But guess what? We still need to have courage. We still need to have courage. We still need to have courage. Hey, take heart, parent. You take courage with your training of your young people. And you take courage as you train them in the ways of God. Why? Because if you don't take courage, somebody else will walk along that has courage to take them away from you. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they're just as powerful today as they were yesterday. They're just as powerful today as they were in the Bible times. And if you're faced with execution, can I tell you something? You still need to stir your courage. You still need to stir your courage. We need some young people. We need some families that say, hey, I'm going to stir it up in my courage. There is a difference now between courage and arrogance. Some people, you know, they go out, well, bless God. We ain't never done it that way before. There is a difference between courage and arrogance. You see, courage is confidence. Courage is confidence. When you get out there and say, I have confidence in my Bible reading. I have confidence in my walk with God. I have confidence in serving God. Stir up courage. Courage. How do I get courage? Think about this. Courage comes from praying. Courage comes from praying. My wife and I, some of the worst days we've ever had, and she'll attest to this, some of the worst days her and I have ever had in our life were days we did not pray together. They were days we did not pray together. There's just something about a praying Christian. You get courage from praying. You see, Daniel, he had no fear of what those people would do. He just walked right out to that balcony and he just started praying out loud to God. Why? Because he had a personal relationship with God. Hey, he had a personal relationship with God. Why is it that so many young people these days, it seems like stress and worry is taking an effect on the younger and the younger and the younger. And now we have six-year-olds that go to school and they come back from school all depressed and all discouraged and with anxiety, things that you think an adult should be facing and having problems with. But no, now we have six-year-olds facing that kind of problem. Why? It all starts when we left the closet of prayer and we said, I'm no longer going to pray. Why? It didn't work for them and it won't work for me. But I'm here to tell you something different. It still works. It still works. It still works. And no, God may not answer in your time and in my time. And no, God may not answer according to your plans and according to my plans. But I tell you this, God is still good and God is still right, and you keep your courage in your prayer life. How is it that I can gain courage? Courage comes from faithfulness. Courage comes from faithfulness. How is it that I can be a better soul winner? You go soul winning more. How is it that I can have a better walk with God? You read your Bible more. How is it that I can understand the Word of God more? You come to church more. How is it that I can understand the preacher's heart more? You pay attention more. How is it, that, Brother Jonathan, that I could just get more courage? You be faithful. So number one, stir up your courage. Stir up your courage. Number two, stir up your care of others. Stir up your care of others. Let's think about the lost for a minute. There are two categories of people. There are the lost and there are the saved. There are the lost and there are the saved. There was a man. He had made a commitment. I actually know several people who have done this. They made a commitment to God to lead someone to Christ every day for the rest of their life. A friend of mine, he's done this for, was it 11 years now, dear? 11 years. He has not missed one day of leading someone to Christ. Every day for the past 11 years. Can I tell you something? That'll change your life. Every day for the past 11 years. Brother David Gibbs, he was with a pastor friend, and this preacher was one of those that had committed to lead someone to Christ every day. Every day. It was almost midnight, and he told Brother Gibbs, hey, I need to stop at this gas station. I haven't led anyone to Christ yet. Brother Gibbs said, okay, and they pulled up to the gas station, and he gets out, and he goes into the gas station, and he sees the lady behind the cashier box. He walks up to the lady, and he begins to tell her about the church and tell her about Jesus Christ, and she looks at him stunned. She said, I can't believe we're talking about this. She pulled a Bible out from under the shelf, set it up on the counter, and she says, I've been worried all day about whether or not I was going to heaven. And she said, and now here you are standing in this gas station, right here, right now, talking to me about this. A little while later, as he was witnessing to the lady, she got on her hands and knees and she wanted to pray and accept Christ. Two truckers walk inside the gas station. As they walk inside the gas station, they see two men in suits and ties and the lady on her hands and knees behind the cashier box. They walk inside and they throw their hands in their air and they say, it's a holdup. The pastor, without missing a beat, turns around and says, yep, we're holding up souls from the devil. Come over here and join us. Those men walked over there, and as he finished with her, the pastor turned around and began to talk to them, and the trucker said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Can you believe this? Talking to the other trucker, and the trucker says, no, I can't believe this. These guys were literally trembling. These are truckers. I mean, these guys, they look like man's man, like nobody could get on their business. These guys, they're over there. I can't believe this. And they began to tell their story. They were on the radios talking back and forth to each other about death, wondering what would happen if they were to wreck their trucks and they were to die, where they would go. They had scared each other so much that they happened to get off at that exit because they had to take a break. They happened to get off of that exit, walk inside that gas station, walk inside on that time zone of that man that was leading that lady to Christ. And that man, that pastor, was able to lead three people to Christ that night. Why? Because he had courage to care for others. He had the courage to care for others. Would to God we had more people that would just have courage to care for others. Just stir it and stir it and stir it so much so that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. You'll pass out a gospel tract. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. You'll lead people to Christ. There are lost people that need you. There are lost people that need me. There are people out there, they'll never hear another chance, another time about how to go to heaven. And all it is you going out and telling them about Jesus Christ. I was at Subway. I like Subway. I was at Subway. I was coming through the Subway line and nobody else was there. It was about to close down. And you know how the Holy Spirit says those things. Talk to her. Talk to her. Talk to her. I was like, you know, somebody might walk in and she needs to serve them. You know how we get. You know how we get. Somebody might walk in and she needs to serve them. Or what if she gets in trouble? It's amazing how we play that. What if they get in trouble because we're talking to them on their business time? What if they get in trouble? And it was like God slapped me upside the back of the head and said, who cares? She's not saved. So there at that cashier box, I led that lady to Christ at Subway. Why? Because if we're not careful, we'll become so stale in our soul winning and so stale in our care for others and so stale even when we pass out tracts, we'll become stale. Hey, you know what it's time to do? Stir up your care for others. Stir up your care for others. Hey, has it been a year since you led somebody to Christ? Stir up your care for the lost. Stir up your care for the lost. Has it been a week since you passed out a gospel tract? Stir up your care for the lost. Has it been a month since you've gone soul winning? Stir up your care for the lost. Can I tell you why a lot of people end up dying out of church and they end up losing interest in church? It's because they stop caring for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that I might care for others so that others would live for thee. Let's learn to care about others. Learn to care about the lost. Not only that, there's the saved. There's the saved. I'm going to share a story with you. I want you to pay attention to me tonight, please. I won't be long. There was a soldier. He was about to go to war. His parents loved him so much. He had everything going for him. I mean, he was the greatest athlete from his school years all the way up to high school, all the way through his grad years. He was one of the great. He had everything in life going for him. He went to war. He joined up the Marine Corps, and he went to war, and his parents were worried sick. I mean, they loved the fact that he was caring about his country, but they were worried sick for his well-being. just like any parent would be. He gets over to the battlefield, and they didn't hear from him for a time, and finally, word came that he was okay. He made a phone call to his parents and said, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I've got a friend who has no mom and no dad and no family. He lost his legs in the war. Mom, Dad, could I bring him home with me? And could you take care of him? He has no mom. He has no dad. He has no family. Can I just bring him home and you take care of him?" There was a silence over the end of the phone. Dad said, "Well, I just don't think we can do that, son. But Dad, we've got the extra room." He said, "Son, I don't know that we could care for someone. I mean, we'd have to make sure that we'd want to take care of him, and we want to make sure his needs are met, and I just don't know that we could do that." They ended the phone conversation. The next day, a soldier tapped on the door. He said, "I'm sad to tell you this, but last night your son committed suicide." The parent said, "I just don't understand. Everything was fine on the phone. I just don't understand what happened." The parents were crushed on the inside as they began to make the funeral preparations. They began to contact all the family. The son had committed suicide. He didn't die on the battlefield. He committed suicide. And the parents are just trying to rack their brain and wrap their head around this. Why in the world did he commit suicide? What in the world was going through his head? They delivered the body to the funeral home, and Mom and Dad walk up to the casket, and it was laden with the flag. They had opened the top, but not the bottom. The dad walked up to the casket and the mom as well, and they begin to cry and sob over the fact their son was now dead. I don't know what made him do this, but the dad decided to open the bottom of the casket. When he opened the bottom of the casket, he noticed his son had no legs. The son wasn't calling about a friend. The son was calling about himself. And the parent said, "I just don't know that we could take time and care for someone like that." We have teenagers sitting in this room who have wounds. Where are adults sitting in this room tonight who have wounds? And it's like they're reaching out and saying, "Will you still accept me just as I am? Even though I've messed up, even though I've ruined my life, even though I've made some mistakes, even though I've been in sin, will you still accept me just as I am?" Hey, can I tell you tonight, Parkside Baptist Church ought to be the ones who care about those that are saved as well. They ought to be the ones who still care about the wounded. We ought to be the ones who still care about the weak. We ought to be the ones who still care about the hurting. Hey, it doesn't matter if they've messed up or not. Can I tell you something? They need a hospital to come to, and that hospital is Parkside Baptist Church. Can you imagine going to a hospital and them going down the sick ward and them saying, "Hey, get out, you're too sick. Get out, you're too sick." The place that has all the medicine, the place that has all the trained staff, the place that has all the faculty, the place that has everything to care for them says, "Get out, you're too sick." Hey, can I tell you something tonight? We don't need to kick anybody out of the church because they're too sick. They need the medicine from this pulpit. They need the help from this church. They need the help from you. They need the help from the leaders. They need the help that they can get. Hey, can I tell you something? We need to stir it up when it comes to caring about others. We need to stir it up when it comes to caring about others. Somebody needs you. Somebody somebody needs me. Can I tell you something? Don't kill the wounded. Don't kick the wounded. Don't kick them out because they're hurt. Hey, they need you just like they need me. They need us tonight. They need us tonight. They need us tonight. All of a sudden, an ambulance pulls up to an emergency room. Can I tell you something? The whole place dedicates everything they have to the person that's on that gurney. Everybody dedicates everything they have, all their time and all their energy. They call up the doctor. They call up everything they need to help that person that's on that gurney. Can I tell you how the Christian life is? Somebody gets hurt, and it seems like we have more people gather around trying to keep them hurt rather than trying to help them up. Can I tell you, we've become a stalemate Christian. We've become a bowl of nothing Christian. Can I tell you, we need to stir it. We need to stir it. We need to get it stirred again and decide, I'm going to stir up my care for others. I'm going to stir up my care for others. Why? Somebody needs me. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs this church. Hey, don't kick them out when they're wounded. Help them. Stir up your courage. Stir up your care of others. We have so many people. You have no idea what they're going through. I have no idea what they're going through. They don't need a Christian that's doing nothing. They need a Christian that's doing something. Say, I know what they've done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When that gurney pulls in, it doesn't matter if it was a drive-by shooting. It doesn't matter if it's a self-inflicted wound. It doesn't matter if they got hit by a drunk driver. It doesn't matter if they were the drunk driver. They don't ask any questions. They just help. They just help. It's sad when we have churches that do this. What happened to him? What happened to her? Hey, that Christian over there that's on that gurney, did you hear what happened to them? Did you hear what happened to him? And now instead of helping them, we've become a talebearer. You say, but it's okay, it's the truth. Yeah, but the Bible even tells us, and there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's the things you're supposed to think on. Just because it's true doesn't mean you talk about it. Hey, it's got to have virtue to it. It's got to have praise to it. We need to decide we're going to stir up our care of others because we love people at Parkside Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for our preacher. I am so thankful for our preacher. I have learned so much. You say, he's your dad. Yeah, I know he's my dad, but I've learned so much from him as a man of God of how to help people, of how to help people. Am I a perfect youth pastor? No, I've made my own share of mistakes and heaps of them. And what scares me is I'm probably going to make more. So I do my best. I do my best to make sure I don't repeat mistakes. But it's amazing how when preacher has taught us how to care for people, I try and take that same care over to your teenagers. Why? Because there has to be hope. There has to be hope. Number three. Number one, we should stir up our courage. Number two, let's stir up our care of others. Number three, stir up Christ. Stir up Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul writing to Timothy said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He looked at Timothy in that letter and he said, I've got to remind you to be stirring up that gift of God. You say, what is the gift of God? Well, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, the song goes, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's about time we get on board and stirring ourselves up about loving Jesus Christ and just getting excited again about the preaching of the Word of God and just getting excited again about the singing the songs of Zion and just getting excited again about going soul winning. Hey, stir up Christ. He's in you. He's in you. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, there's a Holy Spirit of God living inside of you that wants to be fired up again and wants to be stirred up again. But the Spirit is willing and the flesh is so weak. We can't live for God on Sunday and live for us the rest of the week. Can I tell you something? That's you adding your own ingredients to what God has for your life. How are you tonight? Have you become a Christian that no longer stirs? Preacher gets up to preach. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. That's why a preacher has told you before, as he told us as kids, you go to the altar for one of two reasons. Number one, you go to the altar because God speaks to your heart. Number two, you go to the altar if he doesn't speak to your heart because something's wrong. When's the last time God stirred you so much that you didn't even want to leave the altar? When's the last time God stirred you, teenager, so much that you didn't want to stop praying for your mom and dad? When's the last time God stirred you so much that you didn't want a missionary to leave? You wanted to see the missionary slides again. You wanted the missions conference to take place. Why? Because you wanted God to stir you again inside your heart and inside your life. When's the last time God stirred you? Stir it up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.